Going down. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. American troops are leaving Kabul ahead of a deadline for foreign troops to get out of Afghanistan.
Several hundred U.S. troops have already departed. This as President Biden says he will not extend his August 31st deadline, despite thousands of Afghans and some Americans still languishing outside the gates.
The sooner we can finish, the better. Each day of operations brings added risk to our troops. But the completion by August 31st depends upon the Taliban continuing to cooperate and allow access to the airport.
Soldiers and Marines are serving as air traffic controllers around the clock at the airport in Kabul. Evacuation flights launching every 45 minutes.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson at the Pentagon. President Biden meets today with technology and financial institution executives about strengthening defenses against cyber attacks. The CEOs of Apple, Amazon, Google's parent company Alphabet, Bank of America, and J.P. Morgan Chase are among the expected attendees. More than half of public school students in Florida are in schools with mask mandates for coronavirus protection, defying a ban on those imposed by Governor Ron DeSantis.
Outside a school board meeting this week in Orlando.
No! Yes!
Parents protesting as the Orange County School Board implements forced masking, which doesn't include an opt-out clause unless kids have a doctor's note. Some parents, four. Them against.
At the end of the day, they finally did what is necessary.
It is time for us to start fighting. You know that is very damaging to children.
The districts of Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and others also mandating masks, and as legal battles play out in Florida over Republican Governor Ron DeSantis' order to allow parents to choose what's best for their children. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
A man wanted for murder in California is shot and killed by Amtrak police officers at Union Station in Chicago. Police say he arrived on a train, was confronted by officers, ran, started firing shots, and was killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Ad paid for by MaxPace Marketing. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-495-4683. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now. 800-495-4683. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-495-4683. That's 800-495-4683.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Summer heat is on the way. Time to check or replace your air conditioning system. This is Russ Clark from my friends at Quick Refrigeration. Yes, new systems are still 30 to 40% more efficient than a unit 10 years old. So call Quick Refrigeration, your trusted technician, keeping you cool since 1955. Also, experts in plumbing and tankless water heaters. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
Quick refrigeration, we get you cool, crack.
The best advertising in the world is the most memorable. That's the goal of all advertising, to make your business the name to remember when it comes to the goods and services you sell. This is why the best advertising on the planet has always been done with the long game in mind. Most are consistent advertising campaigns with multiple messages deployed over a 2 or 3 year period. This takes having a solid, steady plan and being consistent in your themes. Learn how to make your advertising into a long-term campaign at YumaAdvertising.com.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Sports Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And this morning we are going to talk about dove season. It's coming up really quick. And in the studio with us, we have Richard Sprague from Sprague Sports. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And Yosi Heink from the Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning, Yosi.
Good morning. It's so nice to be here.
And you know what? I'm new to Yuma. I came right at the beginning of dove season last year. So give me all the ins and outs. Tell me the basics, at least.
Oh, gosh. So where do we get started? So the dove season this year starts September 1st, and it runs for 2 weeks through the 15th. We do have a second season that runs from November 19th through January 2nd. For our first season, which is obviously our most busy season, we have a bag limit of 15 birds, of which no more than 10 can be white-winged. And the possession limit is 3 times the daily bag limit, which is 45 birds, of which no more than 30 can be white-winged. Yeah, there's so much more we can really cover, but that's kind of the basics.
So you're a dove hunter yourself?
Yes.
Okay, how'd you get started?
So I'm a wildlife manager with the Arizona Game and Fish Department. I really got started late in life. You know, my job, I go out and I check hunters all day during the dove season, and they can be little kids, like younger than 10, up until, you know, very adults, well into life. And I got started later in life. I would consider myself well into my 20s, and it wasn't until college that I started, and I was hanging around other hunters while I was in college, and that kind of is what introduced me to it. I can understand it can be a little intimidating at first if you've never done it or if you don't come from a family that hunts, but I would say the best way to get started is to hang around other people who are passionate and interested in hunting and are willing to help you out. Most people are. And, yeah, it's really fun.
I encourage you to get out there. And Richard, I'm assuming at Sprague Sports, you're more than willing to help them out.
Yes. And, you know, hunting, dove hunting is probably the easiest way to get involved in hunting. And, of course, Arizona Game and Fish has an awesome hunter education course, a curriculum that you can complete either online or in person once they get that going again. And it's an outstanding course, and it's a great way to get a foundation and a basis for learning how to be safe in the field and how to enjoy wildlife and the role in conservation that hunters take. So check into the hunter education course that's available through Arizona Game and Fish's website.
And so you talked a little bit about conservation. You know, I grew up, I am not a hunter myself, but I grew up in a hunting family. So how exactly does hunting play a role in conservation?
Well, I'll just mention a little bit, but the Pittman-Robinson Act that was passed, I think, in the 30s, Teddy Roosevelt got that started, allocates an excise tax, so to speak, on all goods manufactured that are used directly in the field, like guns and ammunition and some archery components and stuff like that. And it's around 10 to 11% of these manufactured goods. And it amounts to billions and billions of dollars that go back into wildlife conservation, and it has had an amazing impact on our populations and the way we manage wildlife as well through all these many decades, and it continues to be a driving force in funding game and fish departments all around the United States.
Go ahead. Yes. So, yeah, we actually, as the Game and Fish Department, we don't receive any general tax dollars like Richard mentioned. A lot of our funding comes from the sale of hunting license, heritage fund dollars, things like that. So we really depend on our sportsmen and women to kind of help fund our department towards conservation. And just, you know, to cover some numbers here, sportsmen and women nationwide contribute $8 million to conservation every day, and millions are spent annually in hotels, restaurants, and local businesses by hunters. Oftentimes, the dove season is the kickoff to the busy season here in Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people coming in, not just local residents hunting. We have people coming in by the thousands from California, Texas, a bunch of surrounding states. And they love, you know, they're here, they're having a great time, and they love to spend their money, invest their money towards the conservation of our state. And that, you know, they also help our businesses flourish by being here. So we encourage them to come. Of course. So why dove hunting?
Well, it's the annual kickoff to the fall hunting season,
mm-hmm.
and it's super low key and super easy to get involved. It's less expensive. You can bring friends and family that maybe aren't as passionate about the outdoors and hunting. It's a great way to introduce. I won't say it's a gateway drug to hunting, but it basically is your first step, your first foot in the door to enjoying Mother Nature, really and truly. And the harvest is part of it. The dove are good to eat. There's a million different good recipes on how to do that, but we really only impact about 3% of the population nationwide with the dove, mm-hmm. the dove hunt.
Because it seems like, I'm not a hunter, so it seems like a lot of work for just a bite of meat.
You know, there's so much more to it. To get up and experience a sunrise or a sunset and to be out there with family and friends, it's pretty special, and it's a lot of times it just takes you out of your normal groove or rut that you might be in life and with, you know, our everyday work and again, just getting out in nature.
So how do you prepare your dove? How do I prepare
yeah.
them? Oh, my gosh. I guess I prefer the marinate method, and there's so many different marinades you can make out there. You can go like the teriyaki route, maybe a little bit of more spicy route,
mm-hmm.
but I like my dove to sit in a marinade for a little bit before I throw them on a grill. But there's so many ways out there, and we actually have the Yuma Valley Rod and Gun Club has a Dove Hunters Barbecue where you can get every idea in the book, and it's really fun to attend. That'll be actually on September 4th at the Four Points by Hilton at 4:30 p.m., and that's another great spot to check out. If maybe you're kind of looking into, I'm not exactly sure how to prepare these, but that's the best place to go probably this year if you're looking for ideas.
So are there places we can try them if we don't go out shooting ourselves?
I don't think it's on any menu at any restaurant.
So maybe that's my new restaurant idea, right?
But you can actually come to the World Dove Cook-Off, which is going to be sponsored by the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers on September the 4th, around 11 o'clock on our property on 32nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be set up actually in front of our Truckmate store. And it should be a pretty cool event. And we'll have some good judges there, and we'll probably, I don't know, we generally have anywhere from 7 to 12 different people involved in the cook-off teams usually.
Mm-hmm.
And they get real creative, and it's going to be it'd be a great place to pick up some recipes.
What's the most creative that you remember?
You know what? I think that's what cookbooks are all about. I really don't remember, but they get super creative. I mean, just mouth-watering.
Everyone has, and you see this out in the field even, people will start to marinate them. They'll breast them out. Obviously, they leave a wing attached because you have to do that legally until you reach your final destination or where you plan on cooking the bird. They will start the marinade right then and there in the field. They have it all prepared, but a lot of people kind of keep things a secret sometimes. You know, they have their little secret ingredients.
Are you going to share those now?
Oh, God, if I knew them, you know.
Yeah. So they start dressing right in the field.
A lot of them do. But obviously they keep in mind the fact that they have to keep that feathered wing attached per law until they're ready to cook them.
Okay, go ahead.
No. Do we have an hour here or a half hour?
We do. We have an hour.
Okay, good. I just have a bunch
lots
of notes
of time
here.
To talk. You know, that's why I'm to ask about the secrets. Except that it is time to take our first break. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Keeping cool is the goal here, with the hot weather continuing for the next several days. Excessive heat warning through Friday, 111 the high today, 114 tomorrow, 114 on Friday. Do you think it's okay to drive stoned? The truth is your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Yuma, you've been waiting, and the wait is now over. The all-new redesigned 2022 Mitsubishi Outlander is here. This SUV is beautiful and breathtaking all at the same time. And Flightline Mitsubishi on 32nd Street in Yuma is waiting for you to come and take a test drive today. Leases as low as $209 per month for 36 months with approved credit. Or you can buy today with 0% APR for 48 months with approved credit. Come down to Flightline Mitsubishi and see what the 2022 Mitsubishi Outlander is all about.
Back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. And we are talking dove hunting because dove season is coming up on September 1st. And in the studio this morning, we have Richard Sprague from Sprague Sports. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Yosi Heink from Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am just been informed Ophelia's Fish House in Washington, D.C. has dove on the menu. That's a long way to go. I think we need to have it here in Yuma. For people like me that want to try it. I mean, I've had squabs.
If you can bring your dove in, there's several restaurants, I believe, that will prepare it for you.
I know that Cretine's actually was advertising that when I was there the other day, that they will prepare your dove for you. So that would be awesome. Okay, but say I want to go dove hunting, and you were talking about kids like as young as 10 going dove hunting. Okay.
Accompanied by a licensed hunter.
Yes. Accompanied by a licensed hunter. Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, so tell me the rules. I don't want to get in trouble.
Right. So if you're between the ages of 10 and 17, all you need is a $5 hunting license, and it includes a migratory bird stamp. Obviously, we see kids younger than that even, younger than 10. So as long as they're accompanied by a licensed adult, obviously we don't want any kids alone by themselves shooting firearms out there. But if you're 18 or older, we do require a hunt license or a combination license and a migratory bird stamp to hunt these birds because they are migratory birds. A lot of common mistakes or violations we see while we're out there, people shooting a quarter mile from a building. You actually can't, that's against the law. You can't shoot within a quarter mile of any occupied structure is what the law says. And it's a little misleading because the structure doesn't actually have to have people in it for it to be considered an occupied structure. It could be a shed. You know, a lot of, especially when you start getting around agriculture, you see, you know, maybe sheds where people store farm equipment, that's considered the same. So you just have to be really careful out here, especially because buildings are coming up all the time.
Unless you have permission.
Exactly. Yep, and that's a good point. As long as you have permission from whoever owns the property, you can shoot within a quarter mile, but then again, you want to make sure to get that explicitly, not from like a third party, like, oh, this person let me shoot here, so you can too. You want to let the landowner know directly. Shooting over maintained roads, that's a common violation we see. The maintained part can get a little tricky. Sometimes you see a dirt road and you assume, oh, this is good, but oftentimes they are maintained, so you just want to be aware of shooting across maintained roads, shooting from a road that's all inclusive. Littering, that's something we see a lot. Thankfully, our local hunters and even our out-of-state hunters are great about picking up shells, picking up other people's spent holes. So we really encourage people to do that so that these landowners continue to allow us to hunt on their property. Using no plug, so your shotgun can only hold 3 rounds, so 2 in the magazine and 1 in the chamber ready to go, 3 rounds total. Shooting over limit, of course, we see that people will shoot over their 15 bird limit. Having no migratory bird stamp, we see that kind of stuff. But I would say those are probably some of the most common violations we have while we're out there.
So paper licenses, and for years, you know, we used to bring in extra help to write licenses, and then COVID changed all that last year. Of course, the department and in all states, they've been going toward online. Of course, that makes the most sense. And so last year, we just set up computers in our classroom, let people go in and print up their own licenses. But basically, it's super easy to get your license online. We still have them at Sprague's, of course, and other license locations throughout Yuma. But the direction is online. And you can save a screenshot of your license onto your phone. And it makes it super easy, especially if you're out in the field and you don't have cell coverage and you try to pull it up on your account with Game and Fish. That may not work if you're in an area with limited cell coverage. So If you don't have your license, you can stop by Sprague's for sure, but we're going to be super busy, and we'll probably only have one person writing licenses. Everybody else will be directed to our classroom, or we'll have an additional 5 or 6 computers set up to help them with that. Or you can do it on your phone super easy. And all states are doing that. I just came from a trip to Oregon, and I got my fishing license there in, you know, in the back mm-hmm. of my rental vehicle just on the online. It works super, super well. YumaDuffHunting.com has got tons of information. It's well set up. Chris Bettinger from Game Fish was highly instrumental in getting that going and keeping it current. And it's really a great website. Lots of good information there, and you can, and many opportunities to buy your license there and get your migratory bird stamp. So I would encourage everybody to check out YumaDuffHunting.com.
So what kind of trouble am I going to get in if I shoot one off my roof?
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, we don't want to be shooting or hunting within city limits generally. Mm-hmm. It is allowed, but the issue we run into there is all the quarter mile.
Right.
It's almost impossible to get away from an occupied structure. And there are some spots, you know, within the city limits where you can get away with it, but I can probably count them on one hand. So we don't want to be...
I think there's more than that.
But yeah, you have to know all
I'm
the good
spots. I'm a hunter with a rangefinder, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I asked. I'm like, how much trouble... So what's the most common violation you see?
Oh, that's tricky. Gosh. Probably the plugged shotgun
okay.
is one of the more common ones I've seen. I'm not sure if people just forget to put their plug in or they're mm-hmm. not aware, but they'll have a magazine loaded with shells and they're just knocking them out one after another. And yeah, that's probably the most common one. And we're out there as officers. We're checking the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
We're counting the birds. We're making sure you're not getting double bag limits. That's another one that we kind of see, and we're not sure if people really don't know or they're just kind of playing
uh-huh.
with us.
I know, yeah.
But people will come out in the morning, they'll shoot a limit of 15 birds, and we're out there all day. You know, we're looking for this stuff, and
mm-hmm.
we'll see the same group again out in the evening, and they're shooting another 15 birds, and we're like, you know, the daily bag limit's 15, and they tell us, oh, we thought that was a morning, and then we can get another 15 mm. in the afternoon. It's not the case. So,
is it a big fine?
But you are allowed to have after each day. You're allowed to keep some in your, you know, fridge or freezer for preparation later. And I think it's 3 days now.
Yeah, that's the possession limit we talked about, which is 45. But after 3 days of hunting, we tell people they need to have a barbecue because you can't keep accumulating dove in your freezer.
Mm-hmm.
The possession limit includes any doves that might be in your possession, whether back in a hotel room, in a cooler, with you in the field. You can't have any more than 45 birds in your possession at any one time.
He says give it to the mission.
Crossroads Mission will take them. I've even had them take freshly killed pigeons that were not cleaned yet.
Really?
And they will clean them and prepare them. And they have professional cooks down there, and there's tons of people down there that are hungry every single day. So don't forget the Crossroads Mission.
So that's where I need to go to try some, or volunteer at the mission. And
sure.
Say, just let me have a bite. I will just become homeless.
I don't know if that's a requirement.
I'm not really sure that's the route I want to take.
Let me mention a couple of things, too. It's important this time of year for anybody who is planning on going duck hunting is to get out and do some scouting. Find out where the birds are. They're not just everywhere. One of the things that makes Yuma County and the state of Arizona in many ways pretty cool and versus other states like Texas or California is that we don't post a lot of land. It's more posted now because of food safety quality than ever before, but there's still a lot of available agricultural ground that is you're allowed to hunt on as long as you're a courteous guest on the landowner's property. So that means picking up your shells and actually leaving it, if you can, a little cleaner than when you got there. Maybe an extra water bottle or two here and there.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going out scouting, the landscape changes. I mean, I was out driving around this morning, and where there was a grove of citrus that I've hunted at for years, which is generally good habitat for the birds, the citrus is gone. I mean, there are probably 20 or 30 acres that is now into either a late winter wheat or a late wheat planting or some sedan grass or something like that, but they're not trees. It's green, but they're not trees there anymore. So take your binoculars, drive around, because what you can't see with your naked eye, you might pick up in a good pair of binoculars down the way, maybe a flight or a bird or something like that. But it's super important for the hunters to get out, and don't count on what you knew from last year or the year before. Get out and scout, because it does change.
That's a really good point. And hunters are very hardcore. And I would say that is the proper way to describe it, because people get out early in the morning to try to get those good spots, and they prepare and they scout days before to see, you know, where the birds will kind of congregate. So if you're not out there early, you might not get the best spot.
Scouting is actually, I really like scouting. I love to see game in natural habitat, whether it's, you know, a dove or elk or deer or whatever it is that I might be hunting. But it's cool to get out there and just, you know, get out of your normal path and just see what's going on in and around you. I mean, this is where we live, and for those local folks, there's a lot of changes going on in our county, and it's kind of neat to see what's going on and to be familiar and aware. So scouting is super important. Don't take anything for granted.
And how do I find out where I can hunt? Like, if I don't know somebody that has land, how do I find out where I can do that?
YumaDoveHunting.com has got some great resources, and there are some habitat fields that are supported by the Game and Fish Department. There's at least six, and there may be as many as seven or eight, depending on the year, that are basically, I think there's a generalized map on YumaDoveHunting.com for those areas. And they're not going to tell you the crossroads exactly, but they're going to give you a general area to start looking.
And is it someplace, clearly, would you advise, I mean, you clearly love the scouting part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's obvious. Would you advise doing that, like, even not during hunting season? Is it a great way just to go see wildlife?
Well, so, you know, the weather does change things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say right now, up until the week before, is the best time to scout for sure. You can, I mean, there's people start looking at birds early. And the first season is 2 weeks long. So, and it'll even change during the season some,
mm-hmm.
depending on crop rotation and what's going on with our weather and how much pressure the birds have had in that area. But from today, like I say, the week before,
mm-hmm.
which is starting next Wednesday, is the opener. And so I would say the time is now. This weekend you should be out looking.
Yeah, I agree. Is that really how you do it? Well, I'm out there because of my job anyway. So
he's a paid scouter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's a paid scouter. So I'm out there. I'm driving around, and he's so right. I noticed that things have changed. I do dove surveys every year, white-winged dove surveys, and some hot areas that I considered hot spots along the survey where we had tons of birds, either flights going overhead or a bunch of calls going on at once. You know, I noticed some citrus groves that had been kind of torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are changing. It's a very dynamic area we live in. So scouting is invaluable. I'm telling you, even the out-of-towners do it. They will get here a few days to a couple days in advance to do their own scouting. So people take the dove hunt very seriously.
A lot of these groups that come have been coming to Yuma for literally generations, decades and generations. And they'll take and send somebody ahead that may have a little bit more free time because maybe they're retired or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come in a day or two or three ahead of the rest of the group just to find out, you know, where the birds are. And that's super important.
Perfect. And with that, we have to take another break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Listen right here on 560 AM KBLU from 8 to 9 AM every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law, where Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Spend Monday mornings 8 to 9 AM with Sean and Adam from Deason Garner and Hansen and learn how you can plan your estate using a will or a trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday morning from 8 to 9, right here on 560 AM KBLU.
United Kia wants to buy your vehicle. We'll buy your car even if you don't buy from us. Bring your car to United Kia on Highway 86 at Ayton Road for a quick appraisal and drive home in your new ride. Or with a heavier wallet, visit UnitedKiaImperial.com today.
You run a business where you're the expert. When it comes to your website, it's okay to admit you're not the expert. We know you have no training. You certainly don't have the time or money to work on it. You'd rather just use the free social sites. What if I told you there was a way to hosted. Marketing on Google. You get guaranteed leads every month. Go to freewebguys.com and get your free website for your business right now.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, filmmakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve.
Back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. And before we get back to talking about dove season, which is coming up really quick, I do have a few announcements for the Chamber. September is a crazy busy month for Chamber events, so I hope that I'll see a lot of you out there. First of all, on Thursday, September 9th, we have Good Morning Yuma. It is going to be at the Yuma Civic Center at 6:30 in the morning. We're going to be talking about the border. We're going to have someone from Customs and Border Protection there. And so that should be quite interesting. And then staying at the Civic Center on Friday, September 10th, we will be having the Mega Mixer that evening from 5:30 until 7 p.m. And that's going to be a lot of fun. You can come check out all the booths because they will already all be set up for the Community Expo that is the next day running from 9 until 2. That one is free to the public, so if you are not a chamber member and were unable to get to the mixer on Friday night, we invite everyone from the public to attend. We have we had over 100 booth spaces, but we've had several people decide that they want more space and have taken two booth spaces. So last I checked, we were at 94 booths with everything from local dentists to Mary Kay to automotive services. I know that the Caballeros are going to be bringing out the cars that they're giving away, which is really cool. Del Outdoor Sign is going to be wrapping a car. So it's a lot of fun. A couple things we've added this year, we're going to have a Hall of Heroes, which is where we will have the law enforcement and military come out. And so you'll be able to check out their latest and greatest that they're doing. And in addition, we're doing a kids' corner. And in the kids' corner, we're going to have a face painter. We're looking at a balloon artist. We're discussing our arts and crafts for children, along with services for children. I know that we've already got one preschool signed up to be there. And then, of course, we do understand that it's September 11th. So if you join us at 10:28 a.m., we will be having a short ceremony in remembrance of 9/11. We have invited a number of the young military groups in town. For example, the Young Marines, the Sea Cadets, the JROTC, and Civil Air Patrol. Their color guards will all be there and will be joining us for a brief ceremony in remembrance of 9/11. And sticking with that theme at the Mega Mixer, we will also be welcoming, due to COVID, they've been here over a year now, but due to COVID, a lot of people still haven't had a chance to meet them. So we will be meeting Colonel Dudick from MCAS Yuma and Colonel McFall from YPG. So it's a very busy 3 days between the Good Morning Yuma on September 9th and then Mega Mixer September 10th and Community Expo on September 11th. And then on top of it, we have another fun event on September 24th. We are doing a Glow Golf Tournament, and don't let the word golf scare you. If you are a golfer, it's a little bit different doing Glow Golf. If you're not a golfer, as long as you can move the ball forward, you're good. But basically, we are golfing at night. We will have the pins will be set up glowing, the golf balls will light up, everything's done in the dark with everything glowing, and it's a super ton of fun. The holes only range from 150 yards to 90 yards, which is why I said as long as you can move the golf ball forward, you're good. It's even great for children. So it's not a serious golf tournament. It's meant to be more fun, just a fun evening family activity. So we hope you'll join us for that. That is going to be at the Cocopah Rio Colorado Golf Course in Somerton. It's only 9 holes again, 9 short holes. Should only take a couple of hours on a Friday evening. So we hope you'll join us for that. And then one final thing that we've added on Tuesday, October 5th, we are adding, along with Arizona Retail Works and Arizona at Work, we are adding an employee recruitment and retention seminar and job fair, mainly focusing on the retail, hospitality, and restaurant sectors. So we'll have setup of booths at 7 o'clock in the morning. Then from 8:30 to 9:30, Arizona Retail Works will be presenting a seminar on the best practices in employee recruitment and retention. And then from 10 to 2, we will have a job fair. That is completely free for chamber members to attend and have a booth at the job fair. So all you need to do is go to yumachamber.org for any of these events. Just click on yumachamber.org, go to About the Chamber and find events. And there's actually a calendar of events there. You can see everything that's coming. That's where you can register. If you're a job seeker who is interested in attending the job fair, it is free, and just go to Arizona at Work's website and you can register for that there. So September is just crazy busy for the chamber, but so excited that we're able to do events again. A number of people have asked us about restrictions. We are basically following the restrictions of the event venues. So as we get closer, we will let you know if those things change, but basically most places right now, we are still practicing some semblance of physical distancing. For example, Good Morning Yuma, we're limiting the number of tables as well as the number of seats at the tables. And most places are recommending masks if you are not fully vaccinated. So we're basically following the same guidelines as all of these locations. So just stay tuned to our website. We usually try to email everyone that's registered for our events a little bit ahead of time as well to make sure that they know, just in case any guidelines have changed. And so, but before we get to that, September's busy in Yuma anyway due to dove hunting season, and we still have Richard Sprague from Sprague Sports in the studio with us. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
And Yosie Heinck from Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning.
And so, Yosie, what got you started in hunting? I'm sorry, I'm just curious.
Yeah, so unlike a lot of other people who do my job, I didn't grow up in a hunting family. I know that's shocking. When I started college at the U of A, go Cats.
had to get that in.
Yeah. I involved myself a lot with outdoor groups and hunter groups, conservation groups, and I started meeting a lot of people who were really passionate about it, and that kind of really jumped me in, and I went in full force, and, you know, one thing led to another. I got my degree. I applied for the department. I got the job, and that's basically how it was. I learned from other people my age that were really involved and really interested in hunting, and I got into it, and since I've been with the department, I only continue to learn more and more every day. And the best way to learn, I mean, I talk to hunters every day during the hunt seasons, and to me, I consider that a blessing, because I learn so much from every individual, and every individual is so unique, and everyone is so passionate about what they do, and their craft and their equipment. And as Richard mentioned earlier, it's so much more than filling a bag limit. You really do make a lot of beautiful memories when you're out, whether it's dove hunting or hunting deer or hunting elk. And that's mostly what I get as a takeaway from hunters, whether they bag an animal or not. It's those memories you make when you're with your family. So I think I saw so much passion in that, and that's really what attracted me to hunting.
And there's a women's group now for dove hunting, isn't there?
Yes, so our amazing office manager, Catherine Thompson, out of our Yuma office, basically created this women's dove group. And it's to encourage women who are newer to hunting, maybe have never hunted. It's a safe space to encourage women to kind of come in. They provide everything they need, and to get them started with dove, which is a great way to get started hunting dove. And we actually have a video on YouTube about it if you want to check it out. It's through the Arizona Game and Fish Department. It was the women's dove hunt back in 2019,
And I looked at it last night to see it again, and it's really cool to check out. It ranked women from age 28, I want to say the oldest was in her 70s, were out there, and they felt safe together. You know, they all were newer, mm-hmm. and they had great mentors from the Yuma Valley Rod and Gun Club helping them out, and it seemed like a lot of fun. I actually would love to check it out myself this year, because if you're newer and maybe unsure, that's a great place to start. And YumaDoveHunting.com has a lot of details on that as well, if you want to check that out.
So, Richard, same quote. What got you started in hunting?
Oh, my dad was interested in, he opened our store in 1956 because mm-hmm. he was interested in shooting and competitive shooting and stuff. And so I kind of, you know, basically grew up in that environment and have been sticking with it ever since. And, you know, it takes you different places when you get involved and interested in hunting, come to understand all that's involved with it. You end up walking some paths that most people don't take, seeing country that most people haven't seen, and it really just broadens your horizons. It's spiritual to get out in Mother Nature and just see the awesomeness of this land that we live in. And so, I was probably 5 or 6 years old and had my dad standing right behind me with a shotgun, and I had a gun that was, you know, cut down to fit me, and
mm-hmm.
we were doing our best to try to knock a bird down and take it home and cook it up. So it's been a lifelong passion, actually.
So I'm sure that you have then some amazing stories.
I have some amazing stories, and it's challenged me my whole life, and it's just a blast to go different places and to see different things and to learn about different cultures and stuff too. So if you get a chance to come to my store, you'll see a lot of big game mounts and trophies in there.
Okay.
So it's kind of a gathering spot for a lot of our local populace, hanging their trophies and their mounts in there. So I encourage you to stop by. If I may, there's a lot of events coming up, and mm-hmm. one of them starts this Sunday. It's a pre-dove warm-up shoot at Adair, sponsored by Union Traffic Ski Club. And then they'll start that in the morning. It's a great place to go out and kind of get your shotguns out and check your plugs, make sure they're in, and just kind of get your eye ready for what's coming up. And then we started our version of a big deer contest about 32 years ago. And with a little play on words, the only part you can measure on a dove really is the breast. So we call it our big breast contest. And the pheasant hunters have their deal going on in the Midwest, and we have the big breast contest out here in Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blast. We have it's sponsored by Federal Premium Ammunition, Benelli USA, which is a shotgun manufacturer, and Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple $1,000 in prizes we give away. There's no entry fee, no pre-registration. It's really simple, and it's on September 1st and 2nd. So that's kind of an annual event. We didn't have it last year because of COVID, and we're looking forward to getting it back going again this year. So, and then after that, Saturday kicks off a whole host of events, including the Youth Dove Hunt. Again, all of this is on YumaDoveHunting.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Youth Dove Hunt, sponsored by the Rod and Gun Club here locally, is going to be out in Dome Valley, which is just about a 20 or 25-minute drive from Yuma. And then later that morning, we'll have the World Championship Dove Cook-Off, again, sponsored by the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And that'll start about 11 at Sprague's. And if you want to get some culinary guidance and see what they're doing with the dove to make them tasty, that'll be a great place to check it out and see who wins. And then at 4 o'clock on the 4th is the Mike Mitchell Memorial Dove Hunter Barbecue, again sponsored by Yuma Valley Rod and Gun Club. And that will be at the Four Points Sheraton on 3, that new hotel. And mm-hmm. then they'll start dinner. Doors will open about 4:30, and dinner's about 6. And that's a true fundraising effort on their part, and they've got tons of great guns and gear to give away and prizes and stuff. And I would encourage everybody to check that out. And then, of course, the Yuma Catholic High School does a big fundraiser, and it started with 10 guns about 17 or 18 years ago, brainchild of Pat and Karen Cooley, and now it's at 175 guns plus other prizes. We'll do the early bird drawing on that Sunday the 5th, Labor Day weekend, at my store at 2 p.m.
Perfect. And with that, we have to take another break. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Precision. evolution of digital advertising as a marketing tool. What many early adopters are now learning is to really make the digital world work, they need to activate the marketplace with their brand first. Free over-the-air broadcast radio is the best way to activate in Yuma by combining the massive reach of radio and then adding the tactical precision of digital channels. You can give your business an unfair advantage. Learn how to make radio plus digital advertising work for you at YumaAdvertising.com.
United Toyota wants to buy your vehicle, and we'll pay you top dollar for it. We'll buy your car even if you don't buy from us. Don't wait and miss this great opportunity to sell your car for more than it's worth. Bring your car to United Toyota on Highway 86 at Aiden Road for a quick appraisal, and drive home in your new ride, or with a heavier wallet. Shop the car you want, where you want, and get the price you love. United Toyota will buy your car. Come by and say hi, or shop us online at UnitedToyotaImperial.com.
Be sure to listen for the border and traffic reports weekdays on this station, brought to you by RV World. They have a large selection of both new and used RVs. Exit Interstate 8 at Araby Road, then west on Gila Ridge, about a quarter mile. That's RV World.
Hey, this is Grace Gosted. I'm a singer-songwriter, and like many, I've been traumatized by years of bullying.
You're ugly. You're stupid. You're gay. You're worthless.
Bullying causes real harm and can result in severe long-term depression, anxiety, addiction, and even self-harm. I created the Black Box Project for anyone who has ever felt different for any reason. Go to theblackboxproject.org to help you take the first step to healing. You are not alone.
Back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and this morning we are talking dove hunting because the dove season is coming up very quickly. And in the studio, we still have Richard Sprague from Sprague Sports. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Yosie Heinck from Arizona Game and Fish. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And we were talking about dates, but I understand there's a cleanup after too, right?
Yes. That's going to be on the, is it the 18th?
September 18th, yep.
So yep. Explain to a non-hunter like me, what does that mean?
Well, we started it, I don't know, 10 years ago as a way of just kind of being concerned with landowner relations, mm-hmm. and making sure that there's been a real effort by the department, by the Game and Fish Department and others to, you know, remind hunters of their role in making sure they have access to private property so mm-hmm. that they can enjoy hunting and all that goes with that. And so we're just trying to heighten the awareness of the fact that, you know what, it's not okay just leave your empty shotgun shells laying around on mm-hmm. the ground, or your water bottle, or to even make a big mess of feathers out there if you decide to clean your birds out in the field. You know, you can possibly do that and bury it, but you better come prepared to clean up and act like, you know, you don't want to have any evidence of you being in that on that property.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always hot spots where the hunters will congregate, where there's a really good field or something like that. And so we just want to make sure the landowners, our local agribusinessmen know that we care about their property and we want to make sure it's kept clean.
Leave only footprints.
Right.
Got it.
And no footprints in a recently lasered field. Sure.
that is true. Yeah, that would be not good.
Not good.
That would be not good. So before the break, we talked about a little bit about the Yuma Catholic High School fundraiser.
Yes.
How long has that been going on?
Well, this is at least year 17, if mm-hmm. not 18. Again, brainchild of Pat and Karen Cooley. They're a local agribusinessmen as well in the seed business, and Pat's a consummate think outside of the box kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's raised so much money for Yuma Catholic High School over the years with various events. And he started this, and they've been involved since day one. They're taking a step back this year, but Catholic High School and I, we're still working together to get this program going. And it's one of the major fundraisers that they do every year. And it's, again, started out small
mm-hmm.
and just grew over the years.
And how exactly does it work?
Well, we sell raffle tickets.
Right.
Again, it's 175 guns plus other prizes, including a Polaris Ranger and a great weekend, long weekend stay at a resort-type house in Cabo, San Lucas. And we sell tickets, and we just started them. They got mailed out to a pretty good mailing list here in about the middle of August.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tickets at Sprague and other locations. And, of course, you can, I believe, get them through Union Catholic Online. And we have, the tickets are $25 each, or you can buy a book of 10 for $200, which includes a special golden ticket, which are some of the biggest prizes, including that Polaris Ranger, which is a $10,000 value.
Mm-hmm.
Prizes total over 90, prize values to over 90,000 bucks. And we'll do the early bird drawing for the first 25 guns on Sunday the 5th at 2 p.m. All those early bird winners will go back in the main drawing, which will be a little bit more than a month later, again at Sprague.
I shared this giveaway on my Facebook, and I have a lot of people from all over the country, and started getting 20 questions as well as kind of beat up for this, you know. And so my question is, like, do they then get the gun from Sprague's? Do they have to go through a background check? Do they have to?
Yes. All federal rules are applied. All background checks have to be completed. And the cool thing, how we work it is, if they win something and they decide they'd rather get something at our sister company, which is mm-hmm. Truckmates, which is a truck accessory store, also SUVs and so on,
mm-hmm.
They can take that value of what they want and get anything else they want. We don't hold that for them. We just guarantee that they'll get that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And but if they want to, and I say at some point, it's because all industries have been so challenged by
mm-hmm.
COVID, and as far as supply and demand, it's been crazy. But they can go different directions with their winnings.
Have you found that as well in the sporting goods?
Oh, yes. So what used to be, and I often quote this to folks asking this question, is what used to be 75 to 80% available at our multi-line distributors where we make source products for people has been running 4 to 7%.
Hmm.
So stuff is coming in, but it's just taking a lot longer, like 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm. How's ammunition?
Tight.
Okay.
Tight, but we've been doing this for so long. We have a lot of good relationships in the industry, so we are set to go, good to go for the Duff Hunt opener.
Mm-hmm.
Good shape on 12-gauge and 20-gauge lead shot shells. Reasonable on steel. California hunters usually have to shoot steel. Small gauge is a bit challenged, like 410. But we're in pretty good shape for the 90% of the demand.
I hadn't even thought about that. Can we get, I know Arizona Game and Fish, but can we get a California license too, being so close to the border?
Yes, you can. There's just, if you plan to hunt in California, and assuming you're an Arizona resident, you'd have to get a non-resident California license, which there's pricing differences with that, is that discrepancy there. And kind of speaking on that topic of different licenses, for those who do choose to hunt here in Yuma, we do have some reservation land on some of the, I would say, more popular areas, Levee Road near the Colorado River.
Mm-hmm.
You do. They actually require, if you plan on hunting the Kokopah out in that area, they do require a separate license, a hunting license that you need to purchase. And the bag limit includes hunting on the reservation and off. So it's still 15 birds per day, regardless of where you do your hunting.
We have those permits for the Kokopahs at Sprague's as well.
Okay.
I think they're running $75. And they have a generous, you can have a number of kids with you on that license as well.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, you just always want to be aware of where you're hunting, whose property you're on, whether you're on reservation. And that's why we like to do this cleanup as well, because we really respect our landowners
mm-hmm.
for giving us that privilege. It's really what it is to hunt their property. So we want to make sure we do everything we can to, you know, keep them happy.
So then with the tribal lands, are they policed still by Arizona Game and Fish, or do their own policing?
So, no, we do not police on tribal land, but they do have their own officers
mm-hmm.
who patrol their property.
And what about the Quetzon? Is there any hunting there?
In the past, there has been. We don't have, I don't know, it's different over there. We don't communicate with them quite as frequently as
mm-hmm.
Kokopahs. I think it's just because of their proximity. It's mm-hmm. just less available property. But they do have some hunting allowed. Generally, you'll probably have to go over there to Indian Hill to get access to that. That's where their offices are, as if you were going to the old Paradise Casino.
Yeah, and just be aware as well. I know we're talking about tribal land, but if you do plan on hunting either YPG or the Barry Goldwater Range West, that they require their own permits. I know Barry Goldwater Range West, the marine side, those permits can be obtained online. YPG is a little more restrictive. You have to sign a hold harmless and actually do an in-person safety video. And I believe they require firearms to be registered with them as well. And they have it's a little more restrictive on YPG, but...
There's people that like to get away from crowds.
Yeah.
And dove hunting in the desert is not bad if you know where a water source is, those
mm-hmm.
birds. There's lots of, you know... In fact, one of the reasons dove hunting is so popular is because dove are found in more states than just about any other species. I mean, they're just like in almost every single state. So lots of birds in this country.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds kind of, I'm like all of a sudden figuring out how complicated this truly is. It is
very
important.
Well, that's why it really pays to go with a mentor.
Okay.
Get somebody who's got a little experience. We're just bringing up all the rules and regulations, but it's really not that difficult. Just with a mentor, it takes the worry off of it.
Yeah. It's really fun. I'm like, so when are you going hunting? Because I've never gone. I'm gonna need a good mentor. Well, unfortunately, I'll be working the first, 6 days nonstop. We have the holiday smack dab there in the middle,
mm-hmm.
so we have about 6 consecutive days that we are thinking will be pretty busy. The hunt opens on a Wednesday. Usually, the first 2 days are pretty busy. So Wednesday, Thursday, that leads us straight into Friday, which we're getting into the weekend. So the numbers stay pretty high up there, and then of course that leads us straight into Monday, which is the holiday. So we're anticipating quite a long
time. It'll be spread out. If the hunt opens on a weekend or anything close to a weekend, we generally see a 10-15% increase in the number of people that will come. The more serious people will take off from work, and so that's usually a few less, but it will be spread out over the holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Richard, do you at least get a chance to go out?
You know what? I have sales reps that come and help with the store business, and so I make sure they get a chance to recreate. So I go out every opener, never miss one.
And you're not going to get to go out this year?
I hope I do.
It
might be toward the end of the season, to be honest, because I'm going to be working the whole start of the season. So I'm hoping to get some couple of days in there at the end.
Is it better at the end or the beginning?
Oh, gosh. That's a trick question. People always ask us where the birds at.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find a hot spot one morning, and you're like, oh, this spot was pretty good this morning. They'll go in the evening, and it's just they're gone. So like Richard mentioned earlier, hunter pressure plays a large role. And it seems like as soon as after that opening morning, the birds really learn, the ones that make it.
But part of the fun of hunting is finding an area that's be decent that others haven't discovered.
Right.
And that can be all the way to the last day for sure. You can still find really good spots.
Wherever they
But you've got to remember,
it's
hunting and not shooting, and you've got to get out there and do your homework.
There's not one spot that's going to be good the entire time. You have to keep moving, keep exploring.
These are migratory birds largely, and so the white wing for sure move. And again, 2-3 days of cooler weather, and sometimes they'll take that as a sign to move on.
Mm-hmm. Is there any last-minute things you want that we should tell everybody? It opens up September 1st. And
iron ear protection. Make sure you got iron ear protection, especially important if you're on a field with any other hunters.
Yes, and you will be. More than likely, you will be surrounded by other hunters. Just be as safe as possible. There's a lot of kids out there, learning mm-hmm. as well. So be safe and aware that there are other people around you. Enjoy your time out there. Have fun. We're happy to see it.
Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
YumaDoveHunting.com. Check it out.
YumaDoveHunting.com. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants